It's been a long day. Grab a beer and sit back. It's time for Brew Talk. Here's Scott Chad and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Good evening, Northern Colorado. Welcome into Brew Talk. We are here with Scott Chad and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier. How are we doing tonight, gentlemen?
Doing pretty great. It's been a long day, a long week so far, so I'm really looking forward to this beer.
So we're enjoying this nice beer provided by Route 105.
Yeah, I brought in our Sonnen Soft, which is also known as a Crystal Weizen, and it goes great with lemonade or Sprite or something like that if you want to do a mixture to make either a Shandy or a Rattler. And I think it's just a nice crisp. Clean beer, and it's kind of hitting the spot for me right now.
Yeah, kind of perfect for the weather we've had the last couple of days.
Oh, tell me about it.
Summer has finally hit, it feels.
And there's no sun out right now, but my truck was saying it was still like in the 90s.
It still was in the 90s, yeah, that's for sure.
Can only imagine if the sun was out.
I was going to say it's a little bit cloudy, but it's still stupid hot out.
But the humidity's down.
The humidity is down.
It finally feels like Colorado again.
It does. It does.
I will say that.
I was contemplating buying one of those dehumidifiers for my car and maybe one for my bedroom and maybe one for my living room just to kind of knock the humidity down a little bit.
Well, not too long ago, we just put a humidifier in the house. Winters get so dry, right? So Powerball... Do you guys play Powerball?
We do. That's my retirement plan.
No. Oh. I have always felt like the lottery was a tax for people who were bad at math.
Yes.
So. Well, I am bad at math.
But $1 billion. Imagine the...
Gross.
Yes, gross.
Yeah, it is
not
gross.
Not net. Yes. The government's going to take money from you.
Yeah, the government will take...
45%?
Half of it.
I think it's close to, by the time everything's said and done, you get about 40% of the actual.
Yeah.
Which is still $400 million. So, okay.
Right. Yeah, which I'm not complaining about.
Yeah, I wouldn't look that gift horse in the mouth. That's right. Sure.
So here's my question. If you win the Powerball, number one, do you take the cash payout, which I think is 500 some million before taxes, or do you... Do the payouts year
the
by
20
year?
The 20-year annuity kind of thing?
20-year annuity. It's a good question. I mean, it really is a good question. It's one of those ones that you need a CPA and a financial
and
advisor.
Somebody to advise you.
To know whether or not you're getting the maximum amount of money. Because, I mean, let's face it. How many of us need $500 million today? Right.
Well,
and if you're going to get.
Mike is raising his hand.
I think that's more of a want than a need.
Yes.
So
yeah.
That's fine.
But if you needed only, you know, $100,000 or a couple hundred thousand dollars to live a year, then the annuity seems like the better way to go.
All right. So Doc's going the logic way. Let's throw logic out of it.
Okay.
So
there's a country I'd like to buy. Yeah. No, just kidding.
Yeah. I think at that amount. I don't think you can go wrong, because even if you took like a 20-year annuity, you're still talking like $20 or $25 million annually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even if, you know, half of that. So after taxes, you're getting $10 million.
Yeah.
We'll say that.
Roll it over into a really nice IR.
There you go. Yeah. I can live off of one, and the other nine we can.
Right. But if you got all of it all at once, you could just live on the interest.
You could. That's true.
That's true.
Yeah.
And you'd never lose a dime.
But going into part two of my question, you know, what beer-related adventure would you spend some of that money on?
Oh. I feel like you want me to segue into one of the topics we want to talk about later, as in buying a particular...
Would you buy a brewery?
I think Doc right now would say he would not buy another brewery.
Probably not.
No, I'd pay this one off. There you go. But no, I mean, beer-related tours.
But I think for me, I think I'd spend a trip... Kind of traveling around, you know, Belgium.
Oh, yeah.
Germany.
I'd love to go to Germany and really hit everything there and then go back to England and do it there again.
Yeah.
Really like those two styles of beer a lot, and it would be really great to...
And kind of just tour some of the breweries and learn and, mm-hmm. and talk to them. And
have a local guide take you around, too. That'd be fun. I know you can do that as a, you know, like a two-week-long trip.
There you go.
It's kind of expensive, but it wouldn't be expensive at all.
You could spend a year in each country.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Learning the craft. Or
just, drinking the
just
beer.
Drinking
just the imbibing beer. In the craft. I think that's where I would go. Or maybe you would just buy a tent at the Oktoberfest in Berlin.
There you go.
And then you could, like, control who could come in your tent.
Yeah. So maybe you'd do that. Would you go to, you'd go to Oktoberfest? Would you go to Paddy's Day in Ireland?
I do want to go to Oktoberfest.
Yeah. Would you do Paddy's Day in Ireland?
It's not as popular there as it is here.
It's not. No. But it's gaining popularity from what I understand.
I'm sure there's holidays I'd like to go to where they celebrate them, and it would be really fun.
I mean, what other kind of worldwide beer events are there out there that you could kind of travel to? I mean, Oktoberfest, I think, is the biggest, isn't it?
I'd also like to go to Australia and tour the breweries there and try the beers. Because I liked Foster when I was, you know, cutting my teeth on craft beer. Is Foster still craft beer? I don't know.
I've been told nobody in Australia drinks Foster's. So
what do they drink?
Foster's even brewed in Australia.
Well, probably not anymore, but, you know, what do you do now? You just go down there and, you know, try all the beers. What is their taste buds like?
Maybe we could go down to Mexico and try that cricket beer that we talked about last week.
Yeah, we've already voted on that one. Sorry.
No, I think Germany, absolutely.
Sure.
Like the idea about Ireland. Love the idea about Australia.
Ooh, Czech Republic.
Czech Republic. That would be another good one. And I think Mexico sans the cricket beer would be great.
There really are some good up-and-coming craft breweries in Mexico.
Oh, yes. I've heard the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be great to go there. I mean, the food is amazing. So you know you're going to have great food. Now you just need something to wash it down with. So,
absolutely.
Sounds good to me. Let's go.
So are we making like a Brew Talk pack that if one of us wins...
If one of us wins
Powerball, we win the $1 billion, we'll do live shows
from Oktoberfest. We'll do live shows from...
Okay, so we'll pick like five festivals and we'll go to them around the world.
Around the world.
Okay.
Perfect.
I don't want to go to too many because, you know, it's my $1 billion, right?
Oh.
I don't want to blow it all
Forget
in the first year.
Yeah. If you can blow all of, if you can blow $1 billion in a year, good luck to you, my friend.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, that number just blows my mind.
Well, and it's funny, I'm thinking about, you know, different elements and spending money in it. I hearken back to the movie Brewster's Millions.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about that, how hard it was for him to figure out ways to spend money, and even more so to spend money and not have anything to show for it.
Yeah, and not keep.
Oh, yeah, just in services. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, but, you know, the first thing you'd think is maybe upgrade your vehicle.
Yeah.
Maybe upgrade your home.
Yeah.
Put a kegerator
in your bathroom so that you can access it from the shower.
So you have constant shower beer. There's a tap in the shower. I love it.
You don't have to worry about drips, right?
No.
It's going in the tub.
You know, you go to those outdoor festivals, you can buy one of those trailers that just has all the taps on it.
Oh, yeah.
Just tow that around with you. You'd be a really popular guy.
Definitely. You would, as long as you had beer on each of those
taps. That's right. Everywhere you stopped.
This is cool. Okay, I did buy a ticket, or at least my family bought a ticket or two.
Yeah.
So
we also, I don't play very often, but when it gets this big, I tend to buy a ticket just to kind of, knowing I most likely will never win.
Yeah, you're more likely
to get. But it's fun to think about.
What do they say? You're more likely to get struck by lightning twice.
Twice.
Than you are to win the lottery. And I've never been struck by lightning that I know of.
Yeah, no.
I've had it close to me.
Me too. Yeah. But I don't know if I've ever been struck by lightning. So
no, I'm pretty confident I haven't. Although.
Yeah, I know. But if it strikes you, would you remember that it struck you?
That's true. I don't know. There's the movie Great Outdoors where the one guy got
66 times in a head.
Six times.
No, 66 times. Oh, my gosh. That guy runs for the hills. You better take cover. Oh, my gosh. I love that movie. It's hilarious.
It is a good movie.
That was one of the first dates me and my wife went on.
Really?
We went and saw that at the cheap dollar movie theater here in town.
Wow. Yeah. That's great movie. Cool. John Candy, Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd.
That's a funny movie.
It is. Oh, my gosh. Oh,
goodness. Anyway, I have been electrocuted on purpose, but that was mostly because I was a stupid kid and put 9-volt battery on my braces. And
Don't do that.
No, that's fine. Because, you do it and your jaw shoots open, and that was
kind of
fun.
I know I stuck a bobby pin in an outlet once.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Knocked myself across a room.
And we did darts one time with the plastic handles and watched our hair rise with the plastic handles on.
Yeah.
Then we took the handles off and the dart tips touched and it blew all the breakers in the house. And my dad comes down, "What's going on down there?"
I don't know what happened. I don't know.
Yeah. Smoke's coming out of the outlet. Yeah.
Well, I do remember trying to change a switch for a light bulb once, and I accidentally turned off the wrong breaker. That was shocking.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when you accidentally touch two of the wires together,
it's
not supposed to be touched.
Nope.
I actually worked at a restaurant one time where if you touched one of the reach-in coolers and the metal countertop that we would put the food out on, you hit connect the circuit.
You'd complete a circuit. Shock,
so it was kind of the initiation for all the new guys. Hey, would you go do this?
Go do this real quick. There's an electrical problem that we're not going to fix, but it makes it enjoyable to watch what's going on.
It was kind of fun, though.
Then see how long you can hold it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I blame it on my science teacher in middle school because he had us all, join hands, and then we'd build up the static electricity
thing
and send the current through everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Or watch the one girl's hair
go up,
shoot up everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
But
Never did that. Oh, well.
This is a beer show, right?
I know. I'm trying to figure out how this relates to beer.
Because we were talking about Powerball and getting struck
by lightning. Oh, yeah.
Twice.
And what how we'd spend our Powerball money on beer.
I probably would spend it just by going down to the liquor store, local liquor store, and just
buying it.
Could you see Doc walking in kind of like he owns a place? It's like, I'm going to make it rain in here.
And I'll take that and that. Just load it in my truck, please.
Yes.
No, the kegs, because they're going to plug into the tap that's on the outside of the truck. So when I drive someplace, everybody else wants to come by and grab it.
Exactly.
Now, would you become one of those rare beer collectors that sell their beers and stuff?
No, I've seen people who do that. But I know beer does have kind of a finite lifetime. Yeah. Many beers do. And so if there's this amazing beer that tastes really great now, you should probably drink it.
Yeah, I've never quite understood the cellaring of beers because I kind of buy beer and then I drink it.
Mm-hmm. That's what you're supposed to do, right?
Well, but there are some, stouts, imperial stouts, and robust porters and things like that they don't reach their prime for a couple years, 10 years after they were brewed. So you kind of do want to cellar them.
Hmm.
Unlike wine, which continues in some cases to improve.
It does.
Not all beers do that.
Correct.
And that's why there's a born-on date on many cans.
That's true, yeah.
And drink it before it's dead.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it tastes that way.
So what's an average lifespan of a beer, I guess?
Well, that's a good question. It depends upon the particular brew and the style. I would say that if, 6 months, 8 months would be a reasonable lifetime for a beer, maybe up to a year, maybe a year and a half at the most.
And I'm assuming that would be like in its original can or its original bottle.
Oh, yeah. Don't don't
mess with it.
Yeah. Don't open the can and pour it into something else. You just ruined it. And you better drink it.
Gotcha.
So, and I don't know.
So let's say we found cans of beer in Grandpa's basement from 20, 30 years ago. Can we still drink those? Are they going to hurt us?
You know, they won't hurt you.
Okay.
They
probably won't taste very good.
They won't taste as fresh. They won't taste as wonderful as the brewer had intended them to taste.
Fair enough. Right?
So, like, if you find a Frankenmuth can that hasn't been opened yet, you know, Frankenmuth was a good beer back in the 50s. So, I probably wouldn't open it and try to drink it right now.
Yeah.
Although, it'd be kind of interesting to see if it's still good.
Just kind of see if it, you know, how it aged.
Yeah. I mean, when they dig up in some archaeological dig and they dig up this bottle of brandy from 400 years ago, don't you think you kind of want to have a taste?
Yeah, yep. I think everybody wants to taste it, don't they?
Right? So do that with your beer. Drink your beer.
Sure, why not?
Oh, well, that's just me.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about a certain legend in the brewing industry that has some interesting stuff going on. Stick around. Welcome back to Brew Talk on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios in wonderful Greeley, Colorado. We just talked about our Powerball dreams and things. And I think there's a certain brewery in California, Anchor Brewery, who wish they'd win the Powerball.
Yeah.
So about 5 days ago, Anchor Brewery, who is a titan in the craft brewing scene, I think probably the original, if not...
That's where steam beer comes from, right?
Mm-hmm. So they've been around, what, 127, 128 years or so. Mm-hmm. Survived multiple earthquakes in San Francisco, survived multiple world wars, but now, due to hard times and financial troubles, have announced that they are closing. Which was kind of a shock, I think, to a lot of people in the brewing industry. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I'd definitely agree. Because they had just recently been acquired by Sapporo in 2017.
Yeah.
And the acquisition of a brewery like that makes you think that it's ready to go, you know, to continue.
To continue. And then somebody's coming in to kind of...
5.5 years later, no.
Here we are, yeah. So I think a lot of people know Anchor from their steam beer, but they're also very well known for their Christmas ale.
Right.
Which I think was, is that the Celebrator? Is that?
I can't quite remember. Yeah, I don't remember the name of it.
But it's a really good beer.
It is.
So about a year ago, they have announced that they weren't going to sell their Christmas beer outside of California anymore, which I think was quite a shock to everybody, which should have been kind of a hint.
Right.
Of, you know, because things weren't going so well. And
right. You don't limit where you're selling your beer if you're...
Especially one of your more popular beers.
Right. Especially one of the popular ones. So, but no, I've seen reports of that Christmas ale that's just every year it's slightly different. And every year it's even better than the year before.
Yeah.
So,
and the steam beer is kind of one I cut my teeth on for when I was first learning about. Back then, it was called microbreweries.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We didn't call it craft beer back then, but
well, for those who don't know, steam beer got its name steam beer because Anchor would move the hot liquid after they extracted the sugars from the grains up onto the rooftop of the building where it was allowed to sit in these big vats and cool. And it would always steam. The steam would rise out of the top of the building, and that steam was actually it cooling the beer off. And so it kind of got this name of steam beer. The liquid, after it cooled down, was moved back inside into the fermenters where the yeast were added. They wanted to make a lager yeast and to make a lager there, but in the 1800s, without refrigeration being... It was tough to cool it down. So even though they're using a lager yeast, it wasn't under the lager yeast temperatures. It wasn't cold enough for it. And so those lager yeasts were actually brewing or making the beer at a much higher temperature.
At an ale type temperature.
Right, at an ale temperature. And that ale temperature causes the lager yeast to throw a lot of estery flavors.
Okay.
So there's this, if you've ever had an Anchor steam beer, it has a lot more flavor in it than if you were to get a lager that was made under the cold conditions. So, and that's true, right, with the California Common style.
Yeah.
That the steam beer, I think, has a lot more fruity flavors and things like that inside the beer.
I always thought they just used steam to brew the beer, to heat the beer. But
no, it's just because it was cold most of the time, but you put something out that's hot and it's cold outside, you see the steam come off. And that's where the name was coming from. So it ended up being something that they trademarked, too. Trademarked the name steam beer.
There was a long time where I always thought it was Anchor Steam was the name of the brewery.
Yeah, I thought so, too, when I first started.
When we first started out. Because, I mean, that was about the only beer from Anchor you could get here in Colorado for quite a long time.
Yeah. Well, Anchor has had such tremendous history. I mean, they were started way back in the 1800s, and the two starting brewers who purchased the brewery, one died suddenly just before the 1906 earthquake, and that left only one person to rebuild the brewery after the 1906 earthquake, and he got run over by a cable car just a couple months before they were supposed to open after the earthquake. So one died just before the earthquake and one died just after the earthquake.
So it's kind of, you know, strange that, you know, they've survived their original brewers dying before they even opened.
Right.
They survived the earthquake. They rebuilt after the earthquake.
Right.
They survived Prohibition.
Right.
They survived two world wars.
Two world wars.
And now... You know,
well, in the 50s, they had some trouble too. I think they even had some tremendous financial problems there. And it wasn't in the mid 60s, Fritz Maytag who's one of those people
of the Maytag,
family, right? Mm-hmm. He purchased the brewery and had this tremendous leadership from the 1960s onward and really drove them forward. But he eventually couldn't run it forever. And ended up selling it off to somebody else. So, I mean, they've had periods where they were doing really great, and then other periods where it just seems like nobody was on their side.
Nobody's on their side. So. And which kind of seems like now it's, you know, they've hit a low point, and obviously they,
right?
You know, they announced last week that they're giving employees 60 days notice. They're not brewing anymore. They're going to continue to package, and in California only, sell off what's remaining of the stock. I think the tap room is going to stay open for a bit.
Yeah, it was surprisingly, they only opened the tap room in San Francisco where they're located.
Yeah.
Recently.
Is that right?
That's right. They've been package sales for most
the whole time
of their career. So all of a sudden now you can't get steam beer except unless you go to California.
Right.
And most likely in the tap room. Only.
And most likely only in the tap room at the brewery because they're running out of beer.
Yeah.
Well, and I think there is an opportunity. I'm reading some of the articles in that, and there's a gentleman by the name of Mike Walsh who lives right by it and actually is a serial financier, and he's actually helped fund and finance over 200 companies and businesses in his career, was quoted in an article in the San Francisco Chronicle that he is interested. And he thinks that he has other people who are interested as well. And he even went so far to be quoted in the article of saying, had I known that the brewery was available for sale in 2017 when it was purchased by Sapporo, he would have tried to buy it.
Is that right?
That's right. And he didn't know it, but he knows it now. And he said in the paper that he's not going to let this opportunity pass.
Right.
And so I think there's an opportunity potentially.
So there's hope out there.
There is hope out there. But the biggest thing that everybody's going to have to deal with is that the very first thing that's going to have to happen is some liquidation and then paying back the investors and the creditors that are still have a stake in the business. And so if they can maybe sell off some assets, or they can get enough investors to kind of buy out the creditors, and there's an opportunity to do that. And so I don't think that this is the last that we're going to see of Anchor Steam Brewing and Anchor Steam Beer. I think there's going to be a bit of a lull. There's going to be some, you know, reorg. Somebody's going to buy them, and they're going to get it back up and operational. There's too much sentimentality around the right. world's largest craft brewery.
No, I agree.
In San Francisco to let this just die.
And it's also the founder of that style.
Yeah.
You know, the one who's iconic when you say California Common style, or you say steam beer, you think of Anchor. You don't think of anything else.
Yeah.
So,
how many other steam beers can you say you know other than Anchor?
I can't.
Right, exactly.
To be honest with you.
We've heard maybe California Common and maybe some smaller breweries around that mimic that style and come and want to
do nothing as iconic
but
as that.
Nothing as iconic as Anchor. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I always thought that somebody would step forward or some group of people is going to step forward and take care of things and put them back on the map. But it's going to be a couple of years. So
probably so. And hopefully with the Sapporo buyout, because more times than not, that actually creates more debt than it saves. And
right.
so there's probably there's more financial crisis going on with the brewery than there was in 2017. And hopefully it's not an insurmountable amount that the new investors could purchase, buy everything out, and then get them back
in
the straight.
I heard that in like 2020, they were still $10 million in sales. So they're still generating
tremendous amount of revenue.
Unfortunately, their expenses are a little bit more than that, and that's the problem.
And their debt profile is pretty high.
Right, right.
So
but that's still attractive when you look at somebody who's got this tremendous production ability so that they can generate a lot of money.
Well, you've got the reputation, right?
And you've got the reputation.
You've got the name brand recognition.
And hopefully there's enough San Franciscans out there that would step up. And let's save this.
Let's save this iconic brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope so.
I like it.
Let's take a break here. When we come back, we're going to review a beer from Max Line Brewing out of Fort Collins.
Yes.
Stick around and find out what we got. Welcome back to Brew Talk on this Brews Day in lovely Greeley, Colorado. We're coming to you live from the Aloe Fiber Studios on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We've got a wonderful beer that we're about to review that Scott has furnished us with. Scott, what do we got for us?
Today we have Max Line's Hazy IPA, and considering the way it looks outside, it's kind of hazy.
Hey.
Seemed to make sense, but it's with Centennial, Citra, and Mosaic hops. It's a 7.5% alcohol by volume beer. Again, like you said, out of Fort Collins. And so figured, why not? You know, we like to try stuff from local and from abroad, as we've done recently. And thought, a good local brewery, we should give it a shot and see what we think.
I'll try not to be too biased because Max Line is one of my favorite breweries. So,
yeah.
Well, we reserve judgment.
It's okay to say that, though, I think.
Yeah.
It is.
It's a personal
bias. It's a
bias.
Great little brewery. Yeah. Fantastic spot. I don't know if you've, if you've been
I've
to
been
the
there.
Spot. But.
Yeah. I really like it. It's easy access to
it
get
is.
To. And they have great beers.
They do.
There's nothing wrong. So I've never tried this one before from them. And I'll tell you, the first thing I noticed when you guys were pouring your glasses is it's hazy.
It is.
It's hazy.
And it has a foam. But the foam seems to kind of go away
a little
quicker.
Dissipates fairly quick.
That's okay. And it...
it's a big hop bomb on the nose.
Yep.
Yeah. That's for sure.
The first thing you notice when you open it up is like, oh, there's some hops in that.
Yeah.
But you'd expect that with a hazy
IPA. With a hazy, yeah.
So what do you guys smell?
Hops. Lots of hops. Well, and it's a citrus hop. I mean, that's kind of what I'm getting
citrusy,
some of that.
It's
Yeah, I get a lot of
a little
grassy,
bit piney.
Yeah, piney. Yeah.
Piney orange.
And little, I'll say citrusy, because I just don't know if it's orange or grapefruit or something like that.
I think it's more grapefruit. That's what, again, you know, you nailed it. You named it, and I went, yep, that's what it is. It's
so
more grapefruit.
When you get a big hop nose like that, that comes from the dry hopping.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, they add hops after the beer has been made, but before the beer gets carbonated.
And which adds a little bit of alcohol and a little bit of hoppiness to the flavor, but mostly
very small amount of alcohol.
Yeah.
So the hops do something to the beer, which is called hop creep, and that causes the beer to ferment just a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And that's from all of the enzymes that are in the hops causing it to... We can go a little bit more.
We still got we got a little bit left in me.
But wait, there's more.
There's more, right? And it basically it's just adding tons of flavor.
Yeah.
And all that flavor just goes straight to your nose, and it also creates a lot of haziness to mm-hmm. the beer yeah. when you do that.
I'm noticing, because you know I'm not a big IPA fan, mm-hmm. so I was a little nervous about bringing this one in.
Yeah.
And it feels like the nose is really strong, mm-hmm. and the taste does not match the nose.
No, it's a little bit milder.
It's milder on the taste.
Hoppiness, which I can appreciate.
Yeah, me too.
Because part of I'm not a huge hazing guy, and part of my that I don't like about the haziness is sometimes the hoppiness is overpowering. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of hazies are out there trying to be out hop the last hazy, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
Oh, we can think of tons of examples.
Yes.
Of that, right?
Yeah.
Just the names of the beers will
right,
tell you.
Right.
So, but no, I think in this particular case, so hops can be added at different times to give you three different options here. One, you can have bitter. One, you could have flavor. One, you could have aroma, depending upon when you add the hop during the brewing process. Dry hopping gives aroma.
Right.
Right? And a little bit of flavor, right? And then flavor comes towards the end of the brewing process.
So you add it a little later.
Much later, but before the dry hops.
Before the dry hops.
And then if you add it right at the start, it doesn't matter which hop you're adding, it's going to be
bitter. Power
and it's know. That one that makes you go the pucker face yeah, yeah, the, yeah. the face that nobody
what was it the
bitter beer
bitter
face,
beer face.
Yes. So that's the when you add it right at the start. I don't taste much in the way of bittering hops added to this.
I don't either,
but I do taste the
I do taste citrus.
I do taste the Centennial hops mm-hmm. and the I think there's Mosaic in
Mosaic,
it well.
Uh-huh.
And I taste those right off the bat, and that's flavor and aroma that I'm getting.
Yeah. And I got to say, for 7.5%, it doesn't drink like a 7.5% to me.
And I'm sipping it and trying to study the flavors. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's doing the same thing to me. I don't really notice it.
So this is one that would, you know, if you're not used to 7.5% beer, would sneak up on you, I think.
I think so.
I would imagine so, especially if you drank more than... one whole.
Yeah, I'm surprised by this because normally not liking IPAs and the way that I've started to learn about a hazy IPA would actually indicate it's going to be more hoppy than your regular IPA based on what we were just talking about. But I don't taste that in this one.
Yeah.
This to me is like the least hoppy IPA that I've ever had, and I like it the most out of all the IPAs I've had.
So. Oh, it's probably not the least hoppy. It's just the least bitter.
Well, and again, I'm trying to clarify that I've tried.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, I can absolutely appreciate that there may be more that are even less. But for me, this was not what I expected. I was fearful that it was just going to punch me in the mouth and overly. And I'm actually really enjoying it. I would order this beer. I would buy this beer. I would drink this beer.
Since I always like people that say, I'm not an IPA person. I don't drink IPAs. It sounds like a challenge to me because I can guarantee I can always find an IPA for a person that doesn't like IPAs, whether it's something like this or it's a sessionable IPA. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people have the misconception that IPA just means overly bitter and punchy in the face hops. But I think hops, like we've discovered in lots of beers, have a huge, you know, variety of flavors, whether it's piney, citrusy, bitter, floral, earthy, you know.
You name it.
Yeah, there's all kinds of different flavors from different hops, and I don't think a lot of people understand that, so... Tasting something like this, I think, is beneficial and brings people to understand IPAs a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chad, I would say that if you would have handed me this beer and say, I think you might like this IPA, challenge accepted. I think I can find you one. I would have to acquiesce and say you did because I like this one.
And you found it on your own.
And so I well, kind of found it on not Yay. Really. I mean, in all fairness, I got to give my son Cody a little bit of props because he brought it home and he was like,
yeah.
And I was like, hey, we could sample that. We could review that on Brew Talk. Would you be willing to donate 2 cans for science? And he did. So.
For thank science.
You. Thank you to Cody.
Science.
Yes.
Well done, Cody.
Well, I'll tell you this. Whether you like IPAs or not, this one is extremely well-crafted.
You're
catching a lot of flavor and aroma without being overpowering.
Oh, yeah, not punching the face.
And there's not a lot of that bitter beer face that we were talking about. And the beer, I think, has a nice base underneath it.
True.
So sometimes you over-hop or over-dry-hop something that wasn't really good to begin with.
Yeah, right.
This one, I think, would be pretty good if you just remove the hops from it. So add the hops on top of it and add them in the right proportions and the right amounts, the right hops to choose to put together. And that's good crafting right there.
Yeah. Those guys at Max Line seem to know what they're doing.
Seems like it, they do.
Yeah. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll give our final thoughts and our scores on Max Line Brewing's Hazy IPA. Stick around. Welcome back to Brew Talk on 1310 and 103.1 KFKA. We're about to give you our final thoughts and scores on Max Line Brewing's Hazy IPA. Any final thoughts, gentlemen? Or have we covered it?
You know, I think we've covered most of it, but I'll tell you right now that this is one of those beers that if you're just relaxing by the campfire at the end of a day, sitting around the house, you've worked hard all day or something like that, or out on the patio, this will go down really good.
I think it's got this nice sippable flavor.
Yeah. It's not a guzzler. It's a sippable type of beer, and I think it's got some potential there.
Yeah, for sure.
Agreed.
All right. So let's see what our scores are on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. I've got a growler.
I got a growler.
I've got a growler.
And we've got 3 growlers, which makes it very quaffable and Brew Talk approved.
Yeah, I was not prepared to say I would go all the way to a growler with this beer before we open it. And then after we open it, and I would say even up to the point that I tried it, because the nose on it, you talked about that hop bomb, is so big there.
And that's the first thing you notice, and you're like, oh, my goodness.
I was really afraid. And then I took that taste, and it's like the hops are there, but they're not overpowering, and they just mellow out, and you get all those other flavors, and you know the citrus, the grapefruit, just a tiny bit of pine, those elements that really make it a really good beer. So absolutely.
I thought so, too. I mean, there's really not much more I can add to that, actually. It's one of those beers that, to me, be a little sip. Let's taste what we taste. Next thing you know, I'm through 2 beers because I've been sitting on the patio enjoying the weather and sipping beer.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Scott, for finding your own IPA and not having somebody else find it for you.
We'll give Cody the credit because he was the one that brought it home and said I might like it. But, you know, I think, Chad, this goes to your point, and I'm now, you know, study case number 57 in your book of going, yeah, I'm not an IPA guy. I can find you an IPA that you will like. And I did. Yeah.
Well, and I think that holds true to a lot of craft beers. I think people say I'm not a craft beer person. But I guarantee there's a craft beer out there for every single person.
Yep.
Whether you're a macro brewing, you know, Bud Light drinker for life.
Yeah, I don't like dark beers.
Right.
I'm sure I can find one that you will enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like IPAs. I can find one for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like microbrews.
Yeah. I'll get you one.
I'll find you one. Because I guarantee I can name four breweries in town that make a beer very similar to the big ones.
Oh yeah,
the Coors Lights, the
Bud Lights. We all tried to make something similar
that people out there will actually enjoy.
But I like what you just said, that there's four breweries, you know, right here in town that make something similar to that. But I love the fact that there are differences and nuances in all of those.
Oh, yeah.
That are doing things really well and slightly different, so that, you know, I can go to any of those four breweries that you're talking about today and I will find something that I can sit and drink the rest of the evening and just have a wonderful evening. You know what? Doc brought in today is my new favorite Rule 105 beer, and I will order that every time I go in there. And, you know, whether it's going to Wiley or it's going to Crabtree or Weldworks or whatever else, there's definitely something. Yeah, Tight Knit, all of those places. There are great places that have great beers that are unique in their own way, but provide a great opportunity for any beer lover out there to try something that they're going to like and enjoy.
I think the thing to do is just to make sure don't go in with the attitude of, I'm scared about what I'm going to try.
Right.
The same thing would be true, like when you go out to a restaurant.
Right. I don't like this kind of food. I'm not going to.
Yeah, branch out. Try something that you wouldn't think you'd like, because you never know. You might like it. Yeah. Just because it has a weird name or it doesn't sound right doesn't mean that you wouldn't enjoy it. Yeah.
Well, I think now people are more open to trying new things than they were, say, 20, 30 years ago when, you know, craft brewing or microbrews were first getting started. Brew pubs were first kind of picking up steam in Colorado.
Right.
You know, I think there's so many more options now. It's more that community feel of the, you know, it's not necessarily the microbrewery. It's the community of, we live in this neighborhood. There's a brewery here. Why not go and see what they have to offer?
And it's usually a small business owner who's trying to reach out with some wonderful flavorings. And so it's kind of cool to go and support that local businessman.
Absolutely. Try something. Meet some people.
Yeah. Well, and you were saying that, try something. And I think I was, as you guys were chatting, thinking about that try thing. And that's another thing that most, not all, but most small breweries, craft breweries, individual brewing, it's like, what do you want to try? And, you know, I'm thinking back to all of the breweries we were just named. You walk into any of them, it's like, you want to try something, try it. You know, they will give you a taster. They will give you a sampler.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's intended for you to find something that you like because they want you to sit down and have a beer or two or three.
I do not want to sell somebody a pint of beer that they don't
that
really
they're not like.
Mm-hmm. I'd much rather
because that's
you
not
little,
beneficial for you, or them.
Give you a little taste of a couple different ones that I think you might like based upon what you're saying to me, and I'm sure we can find something that you're like, I think it's pretty good.
Absolutely.
So when you go to brewery, ask questions or talk to the beer tenders and tell them, you know, this is what I normally drink. What do you have that's similar? And
or,
I guarantee you.
I'm looking to expand my horizons. Can you give me a couple of suggestions? Or maybe can I try this one that I don't know if I would like or not?
Yep.
And most often, they're like, great. We have somebody who's interested in exploring. Let's see if we can find something that fits what you're looking for.
You know, I always talk a lot about there are gateway craft beers that are kind of those beers that, you know, the macro beer drinkers, the Coors and Bud and all those beer drinkers kind of ease into to the craft beer scene. And almost every brewery is going to have something like that.
Yeah, and you know, you're bringing back into my mind this Anchor's Team beer, because that's a great example of something that's a macro, but at the micro level. And unfortunately, you can't get it around here right now. I got to have to take a trip.
That's
to
right.
California.
You got to take a trip to California.
I know. If Patrick, if you're listening to this, pick me up some on your way back.
There you go.
He was just in San Francisco.
So that might be, you know, that's one of those examples of a beer that you wouldn't normally have tried because it's not one of your regulars.
Right.
But you might have seen it on the shelf.
Mm-hmm. Or even beers like Yuengling or...
Yuengling's, you know, another example of a great...
Breweries like that aren't your normal macro breweries, but they're bigger breweries and that
and you should totally try it
that are a little different.
Well, and you know, to go full circle into a show that'll be on tomorrow, the Nerd Show that I happen to be on, you can also pull a little Star Wars reference whenever you do that, because you sit around the fire killing younglings.
Not yet. Oh.
Execute order, what was it?
66.
Yes.
Not younglings. Younglings.
Well, yeah, exactly. Same thing.
It kind of sounds the same.
It sounds the same, I suppose.
I know that's a horrible joke, but I just couldn't pass it up the moment you started mentioning that.
But no, that's a great example of this where, you know, everybody gets into the rut.
Right.
You know, I always go to this restaurant. I
order the exact same thing every time.
Every single time. Well, why do you go there? Because I like this particular thing. Well, why don't you try something? If they make this well, they might make that pretty well, too, and you might like that.
And I guarantee if you talk to the bartenders, the beer tenders, they're always going to have something to suggest and tell you, hey, if you like this, maybe try this. It's a little bit different, but you might enjoy it.
Right.
So, great show, guys. We'll be back next week. We'll talk more beer. We'll talk more beer.
Beer.
And we'll talk more beer.
I like it. We should talk beer next week.
Let's talk beer next week.
All right. Cheers,
fellas. Thanks, everybody. Cheers.